And you can imagine how it must have felt for David and the children of Israel standing before that giant of a man. They were afraid. Naturally, you would be afraid if you were in that situation. They were anxious. Yes, naturally, you'd be so anxious. If you had a guy who was like, wow, standing before you, almost 10 feet tall. Fear, anxiety, confusion, apprehension would have been okay. Natural responses. And the disciples of Jesus, in the same way, in the boat, in our gospel reading, were faced not with Goliath, but with a storm. And the sea was very rough. Recently, my wife and I were leading a group to the Holy Land, and we were on the Sea of Galilee. And we just had this Bible reading. At the time we were sailing in it, it was peaceful. But we just started to imagine how terrible it must have been for the disciples to have experienced the rough, stormy seas of Galilee. At the time, Jesus was with them. But the funny thing is that Jesus was with them in the boat and he stayed calm and cool and was even asleep. Thank you, Chairman. He was asleep in the midst of that commotion and chaos. And why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because for us today as we celebrate confirmation, I want you to remember three C words. The first one is called. Should we all say it together? Called. Because when God calls us and we think we found God, we find God because he's called us to faith in him. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. And you notice in the game we played, they needed to be focused on the target in order to get results, right? Because if you're throwing the spear, all the stone, without being focused, you're not likely to hit the bull's eye. Are you? So David, in our story, had to stay focused. But you notice in that story that David was the youngest of all his brothers. And when he said to them, I can take this guy down, they were like, David, are you getting out of your mind? Oh, go home and play. We're talking about war here, David. Go home and play. Go and look after the hen and the sheep, you know. Respect yourself. His older brothers, were not focused on the problem in front of them. But David knew that he could trust God. So he stayed focused on what God could do for him and not what he could do himself. Remember what he said? He said, I come against you in the name of the living God. And he challenged Goliath. And well, some of you may hear the story and think, oh, it's just cock and bull. Didn't happen. That's all right. You can believe that. That's not my problem. That's your problem. I believe it. And that story has been told in Hebrew tradition for thousands of years. If it was a lie, it would have to be a really good lie. Or it would be new, sort of fake news, isn't it? But actually, it is good news. And because David stayed focused in the midst of a situation of fear and anxiety, confusion, apprehension, and turmoil, he got the upper hand. So as you respond today to this call that God has given you to be members of his family, to be disciples in his house, to be agents of his mission, as would apply to any of us, not just our candidates. Remember to stay focused on God. not on your fears or your anxieties or your worries. Because what tends to happen is our fears, our anxieties derail us. They become a distraction. And when we focus on them, then we lose the plot. I'm not saying this because as a bishop, I'm a perfect Christian who believes all the time. No, I have my times of doubt, my times of distraction and anxiety as well. Ask my wife, she will tell you. But I pray every day and ask for God to give me faith to trust him and to stay focused on what he can do and not on what I cannot do. Because with him, nothing is impossible. So that's the first C word. The second C word is to be chosen. It says many are called, but few are chosen. But today, I believe you've been called and you've been chosen to be agents of God's mission. For example, your friends will ask you, they may ask you at school tomorrow in the playground, Michael, why do you do this confirmation thing? What is it about? Tell us a little bit about it. Then that's an opportunity, Michael, to tell them about your love for Jesus Christ and the reason why you decided to step up to be counted. Because when you come forward to say, I want to be confirmed, like Claire, like Sean, like Susan, like Chioma, and Tayanne, Destiny, Marlene, and Tatiana, you're stepping up to be counted. When Jesus told the wind to be still, the disciples were amazed at what happened next. But they started to ask the question, who is this person that is with us? Who is this guy? Do we really know him? That even the winds obey him. They were asking that question because Jesus had just shown to them that he was the chosen one. But today, Jesus has called so many of us, chosen friends, chosen disciples, to step up to the plate in his place, to step out into the world in his place, to step out into our families in his place, to do the work of sharing the love of God with the people with whom we share our lives. So you're called, you're chosen, like David, like Jesus, the Messiah who sent us today into his world. And when we stay focused on his love, then we can sense our chosenness being worked out by his Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. And the third C word is commission. So called, chosen, commissioned. You know, by that singular act that David committed of bringing down Goliath, David was publicly, nationally commissioned as a leader of the nation of Israel. Because as they returned home, the women got their instruments out and they were playing music. Saul has killed his thousands, they said, but David has killed his 10,000s. Straight away, they started to sing about that. David was just a boy. And those of you who are used to this story will remember that David eventually became king of Israel, and he became a great king of Israel. But he had shortcomings like any of us. Because when we stay focused, God can use us. God can give us grace to step up to the plate, to show our chosenness, and to show that he has commissioned us to be his agents in our world. You know, the world in which we live is so different. People will try to discourage you from believing. And as I was sharing with the candidates, people will think that what you're doing is stupid and senseless. But I actually always have a smile on my face when I think about it. Because the scripture says in Psalm 14, verse 1. Has anybody got a Bible? Could you read out Psalm 14, verse 1, please? Brother Paul? Please, Psalm 14, verse 1. Could you read it loud into the microphone for me, please? Thank you. Psalm 14, verse 1. Please listen to this, okay? It's the psalmist that's saying this, okay? It's very profound words of wisdom.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Thank you. That's fine. Because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I think I'm a dumb man, actually, to be fair with you. But when I look around the world, I just think, actually, it takes a great mind to organize all this so beautifully, so pristine, and so accurate. Yet, of course, the challenges, there are storms, there are volcanoes, there are earthquakes. We try to explain them away. But look at the beauty of your world. Look at the beauty of our world. My wife and I just returned from Zimbabwe, first time in that great country. And I just, as we reflected on the culinary dishes in Zimbabwe, I thought, that's amazing that human beings from one part of the world to the other are using the same ingredients of food to produce different dishes. And I just thought, actually, somebody should be doing a PhD on this. Why is it that people can use rice in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, in South America to produce different dishes? Where does the idea come from? Where are those beautiful ideas coming from? Who's giving them the inspiration to use the same ingredient in different cultures, no communication between them? Because God created you in his image and he's giving you the ability to be creative like him. I just think it's wonderful. So when I read Psalm 14, and my friend said to me, Caraway, you're a simpleton, that's why you believe it. I said, yeah, that's good. I'm a simpleton. But Psalm 14 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I'm not being rude. I'm just saying it the way it is. So my friends, when they laugh at you, don't worry. They laughed at me as well. They laughed at Jesus. But when Jesus came back after his resurrection, he had the last laugh. Remember that? They thought they got it. They thought, yes, we got him. But after the resurrection, he had the last laugh. God always has the last laugh. So as I finish, stay focused. Stay focused on God and on what God can do. Remember, he's called you. He's chosen you. And today he commissions you as a friend of Jesus to be a disciple of Jesus in his world. And we share the concept of Missio Dei. That is the idea of sharing in God's mission to share his love with the world. Because God is always reaching out to our world with his love. And he wants you to be a partner with him. So tell your friends the simple message of your faith. You don't need to do any more than that. Just tell them your story. Because in our postmodern world today, we take a lot of pride in sharing about our experience and our stories. Share your experiences with God. Share your vision of receiving the light and the guidance that he gives you. Share it with your friends. Because there's nothing more profound than that. Because it's your experience and it's your testimony of God's love in your life. And I believe that as you do that, you feel a sense of his call, a sense of his chosenness in you, and a sense of his commitment to commission you as his fellow worker. So as I finish, in order to be consistent with this, spend time listening and reading the Word of God. So don't stop coming to church. Don't think for a moment that now that I'm confirmed, I've got the T-shirt and the badge and the certificate to show for it, now I can put my feet up on Sunday morning and say, Mommy, I'm not coming with you to church. I'm fine. This is the time to start coming to church. Because you're part of a family. You're part of a fellowship. And every family grows by what the members contribute. And every one of you, every one of us, is so special because we bring what nobody else brings to the table. That is why I ask the question, is there anybody else in the world with your fingerprint? Is there? Is there anyone? Why is it like that? Because you are specially made in the image of God. And what you bring to the table, nobody else brings it. And church is not about coming to receive from Mother Bridget or from Mother Susan or from Mother Juliet. No, church is not about receiving from Sarah or from Juliet or from Juliet or from Paul. Church is about what you bring yourself. Church is about what all of us brings to the table. That is why the scripture says that the church is the body of Christ. And Ephesians 2 says that everybody grows by what the members contribute. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? So the hands and the feet, the head and the eyes and the ears, and all of them function to make the body effective. So when you decide to go to Sainsbury's, your mind makes up the decision, but your feet take you to Sainsbury's and your hands do the shopping. Or is that not true? But if you sat at home and the feet didn't act, would you get to Sainsbury's? No. So it takes the body. So come to church, read the Bible, get involved with the prayer group, and grow. Be a faithful witness. Because the more you talk about something, the more you grow in it. Isn't that true? And the more it grows on you. And that's one disadvantage. When we don't talk about our faith publicly, we tend to lose out on it. But when we talk about it publicly, we become more confident of it. And we become more assured of what we believe. And we become more faithful in growing in love. So talk about it. Don't worry about it. The Christians in the New Testament, in the Greek, uses the concept of gossiping the gospel. They gossiped about it. Have you heard? Have you heard what's happening in town? We love to do that, don't we? And someone said to me the other day that in our culture, the only way of maintaining confidentiality is by telling one person at a time. So let us grow in faith as people who are called, commissioned, called, chosen, and commissioned to grow for God. So let's be quiet now as we prepare to pray.